And welcome to Tales from the Long Box Podcast. This is episode 14, Comic Book Movies. I am Chris Mosby.
And I'm Caleb Gerard.
And we should have Murray join us soon. I think he had some last-minute trapping and pelting to do, so. but he'll be in with us shortly. Call him in as soon as he shows up.
You know, so, on that note, real quick, real side note, when you're making fun of the trapping, pelting stuff, which, by the way, they really do. Don't get me wrong. Canadians are crazy about that stuff. I was reading up on the Kids in the Hall yesterday.
And
they have a whole sketch about trapping and pelting.
Oh, really? I'll have to watch that. I have to catch that sometime. I wonder if it's on Netflix, you think?
It is, actually. Some of them.
I'll have to do that.
So, anyhow.
When the wife is gone, because she has a low tolerance for some of that kind of comedy, so. Just not her thing. You know, Mystery Science Theater kind of comedy, you know.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Anyhow, I'm sorry. I immediately took us off on the wrong track there.
That's all right. So today, we are going to be talking about comic book movies. You know, and this could be movies based on comics or graphic novels, as sometimes they like to say, to – you know, make it a little bit more legit, which irritates me, but, you know. But anyway. So, let's see. A little bit of the history of that. Now, some of you younger listeners might think, hey, you know, that Batman one with Christian Bale, that was really the first one. Or maybe Spider-Man, but that kind of goes back farther. Back in the days when my father was a child, they used to have Saturday morning movies, and you could go in for a dime or a quarter or whatever it was at the time, and they would pretty much they'd have serials, or what you would call I guess basically that's like probably the first episodic like TV is now.
Yep.
You go in and you catch maybe, I don't know, 10, 15, I don't know how long they were, like half hour maybe. And before the main feature, back before when the shorts that you would watch before a movie were not commercials, they would actually be other things, cartoon or whatever. It'd be, this was something that they would show. They would show a little bit of what they would call a serial. And then each Saturday there would be another episode in it. And they'd have Flash Gordon or whatever. And one of those ones was, of course, Batman. You can check on Amazon. They've got Batman, the complete 1943 serial collection. And it looks like it had I didn't say how many it is, but they made like 10, 13 different episodes, and
it was 15. According to Wiki, it was 15.
15, okay. Mm-hmm. And Amazon has another one for the 1949 one, and there's even one, a DVD. They have one, 1948 and even 50. They used to do it still back then. I didn't realize it was that late that they did that, but I guess that makes sense since my dad was born in 1940. Recently had his birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Mr. Mosby.
Yes. Happy birthday, Pops. Anyway, yeah, when he was here visiting, it was his birthday, so him and Mom. But anyway, that was actually the first part of it, so, comic book superheroes have been at the movies for quite a while. Somewhere along the line, they stopped doing that, and you'd only see trailers and movies, but that's just one era of that kind of stuff. So just for those people that are too young enough to know, there is that out there, and they weren't exactly high quality. They were for the time, but you know, just to let you know that there's a tradition of that going back, you know, way back. So anyway,
and it looks like it had influence. Backwards influence as well, according to Wiki. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Batcave concept came from the cereal, according to Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. As did the, you know, going through the grandfather clock to get to the Batcave.
Oh, I didn't know that. Both,
yeah, well, thank God for Wikipedia. That's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, Batman, the cereal is inspired by the comic book, but mm-hmm. they realized, mm-hmm. hell, that's a cool concept. He has his own little secret hideout.
Even the Batmobile might be partly that, because I knew I've seen some of those Batman cereals, and they actually would, you know, change in this old convertible. It wasn't really called the Batmobile. But I know in the early Batman comics, he just drove around. It was just basically a car, and they expanded on that later on. So.
And by the way, if you ever dig these out, anybody, put your political correctness in the closet.
Yeah. There wasn't much of that back in those days at all, was there?
Well, it was. They were fighting the Nazis and mm-hmm. and the Japanese, and so yeah. Again, just like with the comic books from that era, or any books from that era.
Yeah. Black Hawk stuff is a good, example. That's what I'm looking for. Example of that.
Sure.
I gave that. My dad was a big Black Hawk fan when he was a kid, and DC made one archive of it, and I got that for him for his birthday. So I read through some of that. They had a character named Chop Chop, it was Chinese, and oh yeah, that was bad stuff. I was embarrassed.
As we sit here and chuckle over it in our embarrassment.
Yes.
So in other words, but you know what you're saying is that, you know, yeah, kids, Christian Bale, cool ass Batman, but Batman has a tradition on the big screen going back, good Lord, 70 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know all the Marvel movies are, you know, big right now. I mean, there's a lot more of them than there are DC ones, even though, you know, rebooted some of the Marvels. Like, let's just do that over. But yeah, so there is that, even that far back. So.
Looks like there was a Captain America serial as well.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I don't know why I forgot about that.
I don't either. How could you not pull that from
you? Know your... what? Did they do maybe even a Submariner even? Yeah, there it is. There's this one of those Captain America ones right there. The Purple Death. They did a Captain Marvel, which would become DC later. Yeah, here's one of those. 12 amazing episodes. Okay, so I stand corrected. Captain America was there. I'd forgotten about that. They did do that. That was big during the war.
And if I'm not mistaken, there was a Blackhawk serial even.
You know, I'm not surprised.
And there was in the early 1950s. So
I'm sure my
cross-pollination was huge even then. They realized that there was commercial potential in comic books then.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Kirk Allen. He played Superman, didn't he? At some point?
No, I don't know. He might have in the movie serial.
He sure did.
Yeah, there it is, right there. Yeah,
so he was Blackhawk and Superman in the serials.
You know, I saw this Blackhawk DVD at a convention once, and I never did get it. Dad would love to see that. In fact, I'd like to see that. But you can get it used. I'm sure I could find it if I really tried. Oh, and there's Green Hornet as well.
Hornet. So if you want to see good Green Hornet, apparently there was one as opposed to the...
Oh, yeah, there's several of those. I'd forgotten about that.
Rogue one. Which I haven't seen. I haven't either.
My dad is the Green Hornet fan, and he went and saw it, and he thought it was fun. So if he likes it, then, you know, if he wasn't offended, then I guess it's okay, because he is the original Green Hornet fan. But I take my comic book heroes a little bit more seriously. So, but anyway.
Which when we get into this list of some of the movies that I liked from the comic book movies I like, you'll see that I don't take it quite as seriously as I should sometimes. So.
Oh, well, that's just me.
Some I do. I mean, there's a couple on here where it's like, you know, it is so spot on with the source material that I couldn't help but like it. And then there's other ones that it's just goofy fun. And then there's other ones that take the source material way too seriously.
Okay. So, yeah.
Anyhow.
All right. But well,
history. I mean, this infotainment, as they say, is what you just received here, folks.
Yes. There you go. We even learned some things while we were sitting here. So.
That's right. Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that Captain America, though. I should have known better. Okay, well, let's move on. You had a list. If you want to start on that, we'll go with that.
I did. Sure, sure. Okay, so I broke my comic book movies or comic book type movies down to like basically three categories. Ones I really liked and ones I would watch again and again. Then the other side of the coin is ones that just, oh my god, I can't believe I spent money to go to those, and then. Or rent them or watch them, whatever. And then the third one was ones that just have some nostalgic quality to them for me. And given that we were just talking about the serials, I want to mention that one. There's only one in that category, which was Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Ely of Tarzan fame playing Doc Savage. And the reason that it has that Saturday morning serial feel for it, to me, and I think it was produced that way, but I used to go to the summer camp, and we would always go to this local, you know, when they had only one screen at the local movie theater, as opposed to today where there's 15 or 30 or whatever, but it was one giant screen at this theater, and we would go down there, I don't remember what day of the week, and for some reason, every couple weeks they would show the Doc Savage Man of Bronze movie. And there's a bunch of us kids in there throwing popcorn, enjoying ourselves, just having a blast in this movie, in the movie theater. And I, you know, whenever I think of those Saturday morning serials, you know, I think of when they would show them more current movies. They show the kids, you know, having fun at the theater, and here comes, you know, Little Orphan Annie or Black Hawk or Batman or whatever, or Doc Savage.
I remember that guy. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Oh, well, if you haven't, I wouldn't say go out of your way to see this, but, you know, if you want to see some good campy, fun, with that same serial, you know, Saturday morning serial feel to it, it is cool.
I've always been fascinated with that character ever since they, DC started, trying to use that in that first wave stuff. I didn't know much about it, but and I was actually looking forward to that, but it didn't. They really kind of dropped the ball on it. But interesting.
I picked up none of those, and I shame on me. But that's
so.
You know.
There were some of them were good. I really enjoyed the actual Doc Savage. I mean, I didn't read it to the end, but the first wave series. That's what they screwed up on is they that first wave six issue series, it got really delayed and it just kind of threw everything, you know, out of kilter, and it just kind of trailed off. But all of it was pretty good, what I read of it.
Well, they had good creators on it. There's no reason it shouldn't have been all of, you know, all the different series that they were trying to put out shouldn't have been really good. But you're right. Delays kill. New concepts.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Mr. Murray just came online.
Yes, let's give him a second to get in, and I'll bring him on.
In the meantime, Doc Savage, you know, it's the whole, you know, team concept where he pulls together specialists to go, you know, there's a bomb expert, there's a telecom, you know, a technology expert. There's the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. And, ton of fun. You know, they played with the concept again when they did the Shadow movie, with Alec Baldwin, a few years ago, which again, a movie I've seen once and will probably never see again. Again, there is a tradition of those serials, which Hollywood has really tried hard to revisit, but it's not something that today's audiences really want to see, which is why we get you know, more hardcore movies like Iron Man or Batman, or the more recently Captain America or Thor. I think
we just watched Thor the other day. It was not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. Actually, I very much enjoyed it. I'm not a Thor fan, so
yeah. No, I wasn't either. I'm not. I mean, I know a little bit about it, but yeah, it was actually pretty good. Yeah, you know, recently got a Blu-ray player, and all my first Blu-ray purchases were, of course, comic book movies. So, but anyway.
What else was in that stack? You got Thor, you said? What else?
Well, let's see. The first one I got was Batman Year One. It had that combo pack, and I figured, okay, well, that would be my way to Gateway. And then I saw they had them cheap at Walmart, so when the folks were here, one of the plans we were going to do is watch some movies. So I picked up Thor, Captain America, which we'd seen, but it was really good, and I wanted to have that movie. And then I recently, after that, I got the Green Lantern Extended Cut, which wasn't add as much to it as I was hoping it would. It still could have been a lot better movie. And then, of course, Magnificent Seven, which is not a comic book movie, but yet a great movie that I've seen about 600 times, but still must have that in the Blu-ray. So it was only $8, so what, you know. How can you go wrong?
I love how Blu-rays are now single-digit priced. We got our Blu-ray player, our first one, and the first movie we got was Matrix, speaking of comic book movies.
Yes, I need to get that. Get to, like, the set or something.
And it was like our first Blu-ray, I apologize, was Contact. But the first comic book type one was Matrix. And but it was expensive. It was like $40.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you can get them for, like you said, single digits, which is amazing. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then these combo packs where you get the regular one, the regular DVD type version.
Yeah,
digital.
Both of the Thor ones, the Thor and Captain America, had all three: Blu-ray, DVD, and digital.
Wow.
So, and they were like $20-something a piece or whatever it was, $25. So.
There's a part of me that's like, well, break it up. Well, you know, I just want to buy the Blu-ray. I don't want these other two versions.
They're doing that to get people to, you know, if they – it's actually a smart idea, which that's what happened, you know, with me. That's why I got the Year One. They're doing that because people are like, okay, I don't want to get the Blu-ray because I got a thing. And even my folks didn't realize that, you know, Blu-rays can – play the regular. So that's how they get you in. It's like, oh, well, I've got this Blu-ray. I wonder how it's different or whatever. But anyway, hold on. Let me bring in Murray here.
Sure.
Well, hello, Murray. Welcome to the group. Hello?
Hello.
He represents the silent movie era.
Oh, okay.
Totally. I had the volume turned off.
Oh, okay. Well, that would do it. So
he's gonna mime the podcast this week.
That's right. Totally.
All right. Well, let's see. We'll fill in Murray in a little bit what we've been talking about so far. We talked about the movie serials back in the 30s and 40s and even into the early 50s that had Blackhawks and things like that. We didn't get it too in-depth. We were just trying to educate our listeners that did happen in comic books, movies based on comic books have been around for quite a while.
I don't think I've seen any of them. I would have loved to have seen, like, the Shazam or the Captain Marvel. Or...
Yeah, we were bringing that up. They even got them on Amazon. $10 for Adventures of Captain Marvel for $10.
Really?
Yes, I will send the link.
Huh. Excellent.
But, and then we're starting to – I don't know. What were we talking about, Caleb? I forgot.
Oh, we kind of – as always, we diverged from topic at hand and started talking about digital versus Blu-ray versus DVD, just, you know, in terms of you know, what's the point? And Chris was about to educate me on that.
That's kind of why I went ahead and bought the Blu-ray, because I got Batman Year One with the combo pack. You know, had the DVD, Blu-ray, and the digital copy in it, and it's kind of smart that they're doing that. You know, people will be slowly building up a Blu-ray library, and then if they start taking off regular DVDs off the market, then they've already got the Blu-ray. People already have Blu-rays because that's the only way they could get it, because it's those combo packs. I mean, that's just from a marketing standpoint, it makes sense, but maybe not from an ethical and a moral standpoint, it doesn't. But you know, but that's how they get their money. So.
And then we were, you know, and we got to that point where I don't even remember how we got there, but Chris mentioned that he got his first Blu-ray player finally, and of course all of the movies he bought were comic book.
Yeah. And you'd mentioned how you didn't really care for having all that in there in one, just give me the Blu-ray, so.
That's so there we were.
Yeah. All right.
You're caught up.
We talked about
Doc Savage, Man of Bronze.
Oh, yes. 1975. Ooh.
Ron Ely.
Yes.
Really?
I've seen him in other things, too.
Yeah. Tarzan.
Why can't Doc Savage get a shirt that won't be ripped? He's supposed to be so smart. I mean, that's how they played him, of scientists and everything, and he's got people with him that are scientists. How come his shirt always gets torn?
Buckaroo Banzai never tore his shirt.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, let's...
Buckaroo Banzai wasn't made out of bronze.
No, he was.
True. But he was a super scientist.
Yeah, he was supposed to be.
Totally. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why can't, you know, he get a shirt that won't tear? I mean, I just don't get it. But anyway, that's something to discuss amongst yourselves, listeners.
Maybe Matthew McConaughey will play him next.
Oh, wow. That would be interesting, actually. I think he thinks he's made of bronze already.
Isn't that in his contract where he has to be able to take his shirt off at least once every
month? Oh, you know, that. I think you might be right.
There's that great Matt Damon thing on Letterman where he does the McConaughey impression.
Oh, yeah, I think I do remember.
Post a link to that. That is freaking hilarious. Sorry.
I'll have to find it. Anyway, okay, back on top. So,
and then we were going to kind of talk about the direction we were going, Murray, to get you up to speed, is to talk about ones that we liked, comic book movies we liked.
Yep.
Sure.
And let me just jump in here and say the first one, my favorite, all-time favorite comic book movie isn't a comic book until after the fact, was The Incredibles.
Mm. Oh, that's a great one.
That
top the pile.
Yeah, that right there is a great cover of the whole comic book genre, I think.
Oh, the Fantastic Four done right. Great voice work from Craig T. Nelson and Jason Lee as
love that.
What the heck was his character's name now? Oh my god,
the Mr. bad guy. Incredible.
No, the bad guy.
Synergy. Or
Synergy. Thank you.
Something like that.
Yeah. But great comic book movie. Got the strong guy. You got the invisible kid. You got the stretchy character. You've got the fast character. You got super science. And you know, it's Pixar, so it looks tremendous. And it's a good plot, and the kids enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Even if I didn't read comic books, I probably would have enjoyed the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It holds up, and I hope to goodness they never do a sequel. They just need to stop.
Yeah, I would like to see a sequel, but. That's something you got to really be careful with. And just from seeing the bits and pieces of Cars 2, I probably was a mistake that they did that.
Oh, huge mistake. Cars 1, awesome movie. Cars 2,
yeah,
not bad. Kid friendly, but.
Well, that's – the kids loved it. My nephews did, so that's all that matters really.
So, honestly, anybody out there who has seen The Incredibles – check out some of the some like the Mark Waid issues of Fantastic Four, and you get a good the same level of fun.
Well, I think
superhero stuff.
If I'm not mistaken, he actually wrote the Incredibles comic for Boom too.
He did. He does. I think he still does actually, but or did? Yeah, maybe did. My daughter loves the Incredibles comic books, and she loves the movie.
Yeah, I love that. I always catch that when it's on.
Yeah. And I will watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it every time.
Well, as far as until Batman Begins came out, I think my favorite one would be Spider-Man 2.
Yes. Yes.
The first one was good, but because when you see a first one about a character, you always got to do the setup and all that other stuff. But the second one was probably – it just had everything – the reason I like comics is in that movie. I love comics, I should say, because of the way that movie is. And that scene where he's trying to stop that train and he ends up – you know, is getting his mask off and all that, he saved all those people and they're like, you know, he not going to say anything. And then that guy comes after, you know, Doc Ock comes after him and they're all standing in front of him they're not going to let him be taken by him. And that, I love that whole part of that movie, and that was perfect. And then they have to go made Spider-Man 3 and ruin it all. But anyway,
oh, I love Spider-Man 2. It's funny. That's on my list. Spider-Man, great movie, like you said, but Spider-Man 2 is actually on my list of top superhero movies or comic book movies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
So. No opinion, Murray?
I have to confess, I haven't seen any of the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, my Lord, son.
I know. Take away my geek card, but I haven't seen them.
Oh, well, I tell you right now, do not watch the third one. You can just watch the second one and you're fine.
Murray's out watching Ghost World and what's the one with Tom Hanks?
All those high class comic movies, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rocketeer.
Ooh, that one I did see, I think.
Yeah, Rocketeer. Dang. How about History of Violence? Have you seen that one?
Oh, that's no. That's right. That's a comic book.
Mm-hmm. It was a comic book first. That one is not for the kids. Well, parts of it anyway. But it's really. I had never read the comic, and I rented it. I think it was probably on Netflix or whatever. And wife and I watched it, and that was really good. I don't know how close to the book it was, but. But anyway, and ones like that, you got The Surrogates, had Bruce Willis in it. From what I've read of the comic, I read like a preview of it. Not really close to the comic, but the concept the same. That was a really good movie. The wife and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but then they went totally off the rails with From Hell. A great comic, but...
Yeah, I haven't watched that one, but I've heard that was the case.
They went way off there.
Let's see. What else you got on your list there? I didn't make a list today. I'm just
– okay.
I'm ad-libbing. So
I'm going to admit that actually the first one that I wrote down was Popeye.
Popeye.
Robin Williams, Robert Altman.
Dude, that's something.
Yep. I probably have seen that movie 20 times.
I've seen it a couple of times. I don't think I've seen it that many times. That's an interesting choice there.
It's just fun. I always liked Popeye as a character. And, of course, Robin Williams was still doing the Mork thing at the time, which, of course, was huge. And so I had to go. I had no idea who Robert Altman was or any of those other guys. But it was just goofy fun. It had Ray Walston in it, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah.
Poop Deck Pappy. Shelley Duvall. Okay. And again, catchy tunes. I think. I think it's no Beatles, but it certainly is goofy fun.
Yeah, I like Robin Williams. He's a really good actor. Yeah, I'm looking at the DVD of it, and it's shaped like a can. If that's really what it is, unless that's just a picture, you know.
Can of spinach, huh?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Interesting. Only $6.
Huh.
Double priced.
Well, it's funny. It says buy this DVD and watch it instantly. So.
Buy this DVD and watch it instantly?
Yeah. That's, you can add it to your instant video 24-hour rental at no extra charge. Interesting. Anyway, I am not paid by Amazon, by the way. they just have everything. So anyway, continue.
That's a character that's kind of fallen out of the public
eye,
sort of. I remember growing up, his cartoons were everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, I think I've watched Popeye so much, I don't think I could watch it anymore.
Wow. I remember like his black and white cartoons, and I remember colored cartoons, and I remember taking collections out of the library, I think, and reading.
Yeah.
And like cartoon strips and stuff. But
now, every time I watch it now, it's like, why don't you dump that broad? I mean, come on. She is nothing but trouble.
She was kind of a skank, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. Every time you look around, she's going, you know, you give her enough attention, she's after Bluto. Yeah, Bluto. It's like, come on.
He was she liked her men big and stupid.
But anyway.
I remember they used to actually back in, you guys are the same age as me, so you may remember these, but they had like free giveaways that sometimes they, you know, anti-drug comics that they would put out, and mm-hmm. Popeye always ended up in the in those stacks. I don't know what. And
never seen one of those. That's interesting.
Yeah, well. Hmm. Again, it's no Perez Wolfman anti or Titans anti drug comic, but
yeah, exactly.
All right, watch what's in the spinach.
What else we got here?
Well, I could raise my rainbow flag and say that Annie is also on my list.
Oh my gosh, I saw that more times than I care to remember.
I think I've only seen it once.
Oh, just when I thought it was done, the kid found it and she started watching it. Now, not
is that a sequel?
No. But maybe. I don't know.
They did. I'm looking.
The Albert Finney version, right? We're talking about that one, right, Murray?
Yeah. Aileen Quinn, is that her name? Yeah. And Carol Burnett, and oh my.
And oh my God, Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. Oh, and Bernadette, and the incredibly hot Bernadette Peters.
Why, yes, she is.
All right.
I think I've only seen that once. But yeah, that's
plenty.
Yeah.
My wife talks about how she got stuck on a car ride from D.C. down to Florida, I think was the stretch, mm-hmm. and with another family. And this is when, you know, obviously when the movie was out. They had the tape in, and the song will come out tomorrow. She just hates that song now because she must have heard it 20 times on that ride.
Yeah, no kidding.
But as an adaptation, it was good, and kids, you know, it was good movie fun. Is why it makes my list as something that I enjoy, and like you, Murray, I'll share it with the kid. I'd be happy to share it with the kid. Not to the extent, apparently, that you've been willing to share it with the kid.
Fortunately, I think it was just one summer. Get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. Blitz on it. And then we haven't seen it since. So that's okay. That is okay. We've moved on to other movies that get.
Wow. It's streaming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's something. I'm trying to think what else... It was really good.
I remember way, way back, my public school used to show movies like on a projector. Kiddies, that's what. Or way before everything was digital. Mm. Yeah, they would show in the gym, like on a projector, they would show movies every once in a while. And this was like a Saturday. And it's totally vivid. Like the snow was like as high as my head. But of course, I was like six. So. You know,
how high could it really be?
It wasn't that high, but But it seemed tall. They drew, like, you had to walk through the field to get to the school, and there was, like, a big snowplow that plowed a path through the field. It's all very vivid. I don't know if it actually happened, but this is the way it happened in my head.
Oh, okay.
It was the Batman movie, but, like, what's his name? Burt Ward Adam West. Yeah. Somehow found a copy of that they showed, and it was, I remember trudging through the snow and seeing it. I remember enjoying it. I remember walking back home, and that movie I thought was awesome. That was a movie that managed to, like, pack it full of Batman villains and not make it seem crowded and overpacked, and it was fun.
Everyone was willing to put their egos aside. I mean, you look at, like, Batman and Robin, where you got Schwarzenegger, you got Clooney, Uma Thurman. I mean, it's just like none of these people will put their egos aside enough to really, you know, put all of these characters into one film. Whereas with that one, I mean, for Christ's sake, Cesar Romero had put white makeup on his mustache so it didn't look like he had a mustache.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that show is – I think How I Met Your Mother is getting kind of like that show is. It seems like follow my analogy here just a second. I know that's a strange one, but it seems to me that when that show was on, stars would like to guest star on there as villains, and it seems like there's more guest stars starring, like big stars starring on How I Met Your Mother. The pattern that I've seen. That's the only analogy I have there. So
gotcha.
I thought all of a sudden they were doing Pow and Biff, and I was
No.
I should start watching that show.
That's why I think they're it's similar. So
I think there's a couple of slaps involved in How I Met Your Mother.
They have slaps giving. See, actually.
There you go. You just gotta add the sound effect and the.
I'm a big fan of that show, but, you know, the main character is named Mosby, so, you know, how can you go wrong?
Of course. How can you go wrong?
Very, very uncommon name to have a character named after, so I have to support it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, moving on.
So, please, let's. I enjoy that show. To keep your divergence going, I actually enjoy How I Met Your Mother when I watch it. So,
yeah.
Anyhow.
Anyway, I'm looking here trying to think of other movies to talk about. Let's see. Fantastic Four movie is okay. Second one, it's all right.
I didn't see the second one. I didn't see the Rise of the Silver Surfer movie.
It was all right. What anything wonderful. Oh, and of course, yes, the Superman movies from the 70s. Great movies for their time. They could have stopped it. Well, I think maybe stopping at 3 wouldn't have been a good one, but 3 and 4 weren't the best. Though I'm a big Richard Pryor fan.
Come on, with Angry Superman and I don't remember who played the slutty woman in that one, but
I don't remember. I'm trying to think.
No, my kids, we actually watched the first Superman movie with them recently, and they both really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I've watched it a lot. I do not have those on DVD at all. I think I have them on VHS, but I don't have them on DVD at all.
Oh, and they're hilarious too. All the scenes with Gene Hackman and
Hackman's awesome.
What's his name? Who played Otis?
Ned Beatty.
Ned Beatty. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's some hilarious scenes with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie Perrine, whatever. Miss Desmucker.
Yeah. Her, I remember.
Yeah. So let's see what else.
My wife is actually. We were watching Iron Man yesterday. Go ahead.
No, that's a really good movie. My mom and dad are big fans of that, and second one was good too. And I like how they're tying everything into the Avengers movie.
Now, Murray, have you seen Iron Man at least?
I haven't.
I know.
I hardly see movies. I'm like a TV geek.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense.
I have seen Captain America.
Oh, that. Okay. I really enjoyed that.
I did too. And I don't think I've read a comic with Captain America in it ever.
Just a few.
Maybe one.
Just like, a few
yeah,
for me.
A handful. But I liked it. I thought it was great. It was great. It was a great period piece. It was cool seeing little skinny Chris Evans turn into Captain America Chris Evans and it was like a good story. Like that's what I want in my films. I want like a good story. I don't need the gimmicks. I don't need the 8 million guest stars. I just want a good story that makes sense, that's fun to watch, and that one was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
It was a good war movie. I mean, a lot of war movies, the superhero movies, no one gets hurt. Well, in this one, people are getting shot and blown mm-hmm. up and all sorts of nonsense throughout this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was really good.
I love that scene, speaking of Chris Evans, mm-hmm. where he goes to the science exhibit. And, you know, Chris Evans played Human Torch, speaking of the Fantastic Four movie. He played, and he walks in there, and there's the original Human Torch robot in
yeah.
the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Little Easter egg for...
That was a great scene in there, so...
But that was a fun movie. I took the wife to that one. That was one of those... you know, I got to choose date night movie, and I said, well, we're going to go Captain America. And it was well worth the price of admission. So Murray, a good choice. If you're going to go to the movies, that was the one to go to.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
You know, and if it helps, Murray, all these movies so far, they're on DVD, so you can watch them.
Some of them are even streaming, I think, so you don't even have to, like, leave your house.
You don't have to leave your house. All right.
If you guys have – I know when I talked to Paul one time, he mentioned that the Netflix streaming wasn't quite up to the U.S. version.
I see.
Have you guys caught up? I have no idea.
I think we've got Netflix up here. I tend to find my online stuff elsewhere. I won't go into details, but
– That's all right. Nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Say no more.
That's right. No, I think Netflix is up here, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Other ones I really enjoyed.
My wife was asking, which is the one that was, of the comic book adaptations, was closest to the source material? And the first one that popped in my mouth was Superman. But maybe you guys have a different opinion.
I would think Spider-Man is.
Oh, yeah.
The
original ones. They're redoing them, so... The only thing really that was different... And his origin was the fact that the web shooters were organic. But I've got that DVD they put out that's got like 40 years of Spider-Man on it. I guess at one point in time they made it where his powers mutated and he had organic web shooters. But when Brand New Day hit, they set all that back where it was actually technology. And I'm pretty sure in the remake that they're doing, it's going to be that way, where he has actual technology web shooters and not organic ones. But I thought that was kind of a good twist to that, actually. Simplified the plot a little bit for people. Though they could have done some, you know, good shots of him, like, running out of fluid and things like that. That adds to that whole common man thing that, that character has, but
they pulled that in Spider-Man 3 though, where he like you know he lost his powers temporarily and stuff.
Yeah, they did.
Sorry, Murray. I know we're going to territory that you haven't explored.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you know. Superman. The thing with Superman, because I'm a big Superman. Well, not as big. As I used to be, but back then I was a real big Superman fan. The way that they did all that has become canon at one point. I'm not really sure if it's canon going to be canon now, but they kind of adapted that with the whole crystal stuff, but as far as that being, it wasn't anywhere close to the one I grew up with. That was before the crisis, though. And they shaped all that stuff to, you know, whatever, and they've adapted bits and pieces of it. In fact, after that 1 year later thing that they did after Infinite Crisis, that Kurt Busiek wrote his origin, and he had the Fortress of Solitude identical to the one to the movie. So that's where that came from. You know, that's how that went. But, yeah, I think the Spider-Man one was a lot closer.
Okay. Fair enough. Murray, any
opinions? What about what's it called? That Batman Begins, was that the first one?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that it wasn't dead on, but they used a lot of stuff from the movie. A lot of stuff from the comics in it. Well, cuz there's a lot of Batman Year One thing. Well, okay, Ra's al Ghul thing.
Yeah,
he learned all his skills under Ra's al Ghul. That is not in the movie. And him roaming around being a criminal to learn how to fight criminals, that they made that up for the movie. But I will give them that made it a lot more realistic than the comic book origin to me. Because in the comic, he just went around and just went to all these schools and stuff, took psychology, yada, 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 and all that stuff. But him going around learning all that stuff as actually being a criminal, you know, that gave it more validity to me, I think. Though I didn't like the fact that his detective skills, he didn't learn any detective skills doing all that. So, I mean, it's a different way to do it, but it did make it more realistic, I think.
Yeah, but they haven't focused on the detective part of the Batman character in these current movies. So.
No, they're pretty much letting Morgan Freeman's character.
Yeah, build all the tech, but also in the Michael Keaton movies or even the two sequels of that, the detective part is it just doesn't play well in the at least in the Batman stuff. I mean, they do it really well with the Sherlock Holmes. They did really good with the Sherlock Holmes movie, but these ones not so much. They haven't even bothered, I don't think.
Yeah,
not a dig, but it's. Yeah.
I wish they would play up to that more, but because that's the part of Batman I like the most is that, and not until recently they're kind of back onto that, I think, in the new 52 stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they've done a great job, but it's not a strict adaptation, I would say. A lot better than since in the past, though. That's for sure.
You know, and the other one, and okay, again, here we go. I'm going to raise my rainbow flag. If Darren, if you ever listen to this, you'll appreciate it. I'm raising my rainbow flag for you, man. Is Flash Gordon.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It stuck really close to the source material. I mean, it was campy, it was goofy, you know, kick-ass soundtrack, by the way. Don't
Yeah, I agree totally.
Can't knock Queen ever. But if you look at some of the source material, yeah, they updated it with him being a football player as opposed to a what the hell was he originally? He wasn't a football player, but it was there. I mean, all the characters were the same as in the comic strips as well as the serials. Mm-hmm. Again, to flash back to the serial thing. So that was the other one that popped in my head as really close to the source material.
Yeah.
With a great soundtrack. Sorry.
All right.
And by the way, we only have 14 hours to save this podcast. So
there you go.
Well, it's,
what about Dick Tracy?
What about Dick Tracy?
I never read the comic strips, but that was a pretty good movie.
I remember the look of the movie being really cool. Like,
yeah, they made it color, really four color looking. So that is for sure.
I saw it once, and that was.
Yeah, I think it was only once. I saw it on TV. I don't think we went to see it at the movie theater.
I think I listened to the soundtrack more than I watched the movie, but
soundtrack.
I was the way it looked. Mm. Yeah, it was Madonna.
Does it have a good soundtrack? Did it have a good soundtrack?
I liked it.
Oh, okay. I
liked it. Okay. Yeah, it was Madonna being kind of playful and sneezy.
Oh, that's right, Madonna.
Uh-huh.
She was actually in the movie, too, wasn't she?
She was the big bad.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Uh-huh. That's right.
Oh, there was a lot of people. Al Pacino was in that movie, for goodness sakes.
So. Yeah, that's true. He was. Yeah. They do that, though. It's like the stars kind of take over.
Well, it was Warren Beatty. I mean, that was his... That's his thing, is to over-the-top big things.
Yeah, he's not the best actor, though, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, you know.
Okay.
It's easy to do that something like that way, but I don't know. It,
Is Dick Tracy streaming? Now I gotta see.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Another one that jumps out at me. You mentioned that, but we keep talking about the current Batmans, mm-hmm. but that Michael Keaton one.
Yeah.
Honest to God, that was the one that said, okay, you know what? We can do legitimate adaptations of these things that people will pay money to go see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And for my money, as great as Heath Ledger was as the Joker, Jack Nicholson was better.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. It's been a while since I watched that. Of course, when I first watched it, I was like a senior in high school, so, you know, it was great. But watching it now, it seems like almost like you phoned it in, but that I'd have to watch it again.
Yes, you would.
Hey, no offense, you know, I just, like I said, it's been a long time. I try to forget some of those movies, especially the third and the fourth one. Oh, good Lord.
Ah. Wait. You didn't like Val Kilmer as Batman?
I liked him. See, that's my thing about that. I thought that Michael Keaton played a better Bruce Wayne, but Val Kilmer played a better Batman. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, I've got a buddy who will fight you by saying that George Clooney was the best Bruce Wayne of all of them.
Oh, my Lord. Oh.
But he agreed with you that Val Kilmer was the better Batman. But that as being the smarmy, you know, Bruce Wayne, you know, got too much money, got too much time on my hands character, that Clooney was better at it.
I don't know. I don't think Clooney was all that good at all. I really don't. He pretty much played the same character he did on ER.
He was still doing ER at the time, so.
I'm sorry. I
Don't be sorry. You're entitled to your opinion.
It hurts. It just hurts. Hurts deep.
Oh.
I was so upset about just some of the stuff in that movie. That last one was just so bad. It really was.
So can I tell a quick story here?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, so we go and see what was the third one? The one with Kilmer, Batman Returns or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Right. So we're watching. I'm there with my wife and a buddy of mine. We're watching the movie and. Just completely devastated by how crappy this movie is. You know, it's got freaking Jim Carrey in it. It's got Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, this movie should have been, you know, better than it was. And so we're leaving, and I got my head in my hands, and I stopped. And there's people behind us, and I stopped the whole crowd leaving the theater. I'm like, oh my God, what was that noise? What was that noise? And everyone's like looking around. I said, oh yeah, that was the sound of our money getting flushed down the toilet.
Oh, that's funny.
That is my Batman story.
Lord.
And I had people laughing. I was proud of my. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, well, it was Batman Forever. That's what that one was.
That was Forever, of course. Forever Bad.
Yeah, but that was like Shakespeare compared to Batman and Robin, though. I mean, seriously. And Alicia Silverstone is Batgirl. I mean,
oh God, I forgot about that.
Ah, well, I did too till I just saw
it. Not anymore.
And Uma Thurman, I still hate her from after that because she overacted so badly. And Schwarzenegger, it's like, oh, maybe he really can act, you know? I've seen him better in other stuff. I think he overdid it too. And they all did. They all overacted, and they weren't taking it seriously. But I don't know. Maybe that's what they were trying to do and – taking it closer to the TV show.
Three words for you that will define this movie. Anybody who has not seen this movie and really wants to get the absolute definitive description for this movie, there are three words in this movie. Bat credit card.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, God. But I tell you what infuriates me to this day about that is the line where she shows up for the first time and Batman and Robin are there and I think
who's she?
Alicia Silverstone. Okay. She shows up as Batgirl. And O'Donnell and Clooney are standing there and I think it was O'Donnell had said something about she knows our identities and then Clooney says, I guess we'll have to kill her. Batman would never say that. Not even joking. And I almost left the theater at that point. That's how mad I was. Oh, still makes me mad thinking about it.
You missed it earlier, Marie. Chris was talking about he takes his comic book movies seriously.
It depended on what they are, but yes, I do. I take them very seriously. But he would never, ever, ever, ever say something like that. Not even joking. I mean, that's the whole reason he's up there, you know, dressed like a bat in the first place.
Is because of the death thing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he would never do that.
And I actually saw the first episode of the Batman TV show, the Burt Ward, Adam West one.
Yeah.
And they actually talk about his parents getting killed in that.
Did they?
Yes.
I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah, it was on MeTV the other night, and the Riddler was the bad guy, and he mentions, they're sitting in the, they give his whole origin like in 10 seconds, and it does talk about his parents getting killed. So,
interesting.
Sorry.
No, that's cool.
It is, actually, I think, that show.
I think the Aunt Harriet thing was made for that show, and they ended up putting it in the – was it the show, and then they put it in the comic?
I think so.
Because they got rid of Alfred for a while because they didn't think it was kosher to have three men living together or something like that.
Unless they're from South Beach.
And then it's fine.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I know Jimmy Olsen character was created on the Superman TV show in the 50s.
And really?
Jimmy.
With George Reeve? Really?
Uh-huh, yeah. I didn't know that because, I mean, there was a thing going on, and I was one of the ones that made the comment about taking things from the movies and forcing them into the comics. But then somebody mentioned, and it was like on a thread, I think, on the comic forums, that Jimmy Olsen had come from the TV show, and then they incorporated it. And then you said the Batcave came from the movie serial. So, mm-hmm. You know, so it's like that kind of like, okay, well, whatever. That kind of screws that argument up. So,
well, Chief O'Hara first appeared on the TV show and then was brought into the comic book.
Seems like I remember that too.
So. God, that show. We've just wasted way too much time talking about that show.
Well,
great show. We all have watched it. I did.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's just campy, but anyway.
You know, and along the ends of the low end of the spectrum, we were talking about you know, Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, was Superman Returns.
Yeah. I liked the movie, but it didn't – it wasn't anywhere near as good as, you know, the Batman, the two Batman ones by any stretch.
No. I am looking forward to this new one, the one with Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's playing Jor-El, actually.
He's playing Jor-El. Come on, Murray. You know you want to see that one. I mean, come on. It's Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Not so much, apparently. Okay.
Yeah, no, you know what? I hope it does well. I hope they do a good Superman movie. I hope DC does a good movie, actually. I mean, they're doing fine with their Batman stuff. But...
Oh, they're actually calling it Man of Steel. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
And you're right, Marie. DC has fallen flat on movies. They do great with the cartoons, the TV stuff.
Oh, they do great cartoons and TV stuff. And that's where Marvel kind of falls down for sure.
Right.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But I would love to see just a good DC movie.
Yeah, I think – well, go ahead.
No, recently they've only been able to pull off Batman, but I mean, for goodness sake, Jonah Hex, I haven't seen it, and I have no interest.
You didn't have to see it to know it was going to be bad.
I suppose.
And they put that supernatural vein in there, and...
I don't know what happens. I don't know if they have too many people trying to tell too many stories, or if it just gets
It's the same thing that happened in the Green Lantern movie. They didn't let the comics really do that. It was a, you know, they're trying to build the next next Harry Potter franchise out of that, and it had so many fingers in it, it was just muddled. It could have been so much better if they'd let Johns write the – well, they let Mark Guggenheim do the story, you know, to it, which I'm not – I mean, I know everybody – there's a lot of people that hold him in high regard, but usually some of his stuff, it just doesn't hit with me. So, you know.
DC just can't seem to pull it together on a movie.
Yeah.
After – you know, and again, they're about to lose the Batman franchise. I mean, they got this one coming out next year, and that's it for that Chris Nolan. So,
but they totally screwed up Green Lantern. I don't think if they do a sequel, they need to just recast it and put guy from Firefly and Castle.
Nathan Fillion.
Yes, they just need to put him in a role like they should have in the first place because he fits a lot better and, you know, just not do a over and just continue on with him in it and go on down the road.
You know, I disagree. I actually think that Ryan Reynolds was not a bad choice visually for Hal Jordan. But you're right. They needed to do something different with the way he presented himself.
They did. They relied to because he does a lot of comedic roles, and they you know did that too much. Because I'm looking at the Man of Steel thing on IMDb right here. They got Zack Snyder for director and David S. Goyer wrote the screenplay, and that he's awesome. You know.
Yeah, but Zack Snyder's known for going over the top. We're going to say 300?
Well, true, yeah. But at least they have good source material to go from, you know. Yeah. And he's going to play it close to closer to the comics.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder which comics they're going to play close to, though. Like, are they going to go traditional Superman? Are they going to go New 52 Superman?
Well, I know they've already changed the outfit where he doesn't have red pants. So,
mistake.
Well, okay, here's the synopsis. See, pantheon of superheroes, Superman is the most recognized and revered character of all time.
He's not the most recognizable if you take away his red underwear.
Well,
Kenny's just a creepy guy. Oh,
this isn't official, so I won't read anymore.
Well, they could CGI his costume just like they did Ryan Reynolds's.
Yeah, I think that might have been – it was good in some spots. See, my thing was I saw it on the big screen in 3D, and that will be the last movie I ever saw in 3D. And we saw Captain America in 3D because that was the only one we could see. The one we wanted to see was sold out when we went to see it, I think, because we went up to Memphis to see that. And that was a mistake. I'd like to watch it without it. I think the 3D thing, unless they come up with a better technology, that need to just like stop doing that.
I haven't seen one yet.
The only one that was worth it was Avatar, because it was actually filmed with those special cameras. That was worth it, because it was – they wrote the movie around it, I think, instead of here's a movie. Oh, yeah, it's 3D too. You know, but yeah, they just need to stop doing it.
The cartoons are pretty good in 3D because again, they can, you know,
oh yeah,
like you said, they're saying, okay, we're gonna do a 3D movie with this, as opposed to, okay, we did a movie, now let's 3D-ize it.
Yeah, yeah. They just gotta make sure they do it that way.
Now, Murray, have you seen Green Lantern? I know you're not a huge Green Lantern fan, right?
I haven't. I wanted to, but I have not found it yet. So,
yeah.
So I have not seen it. I expect I'll probably like it enough. I don't know.
Well, I'm a big fan. You know how I'm a fan of Green Lantern. I liked it, but I was disappointed.
Yeah, I think from what I've heard, there's probably just too much in it. Like, they've tried to tell too much story.
Oh, Lord, yes. Mm-hmm. But they left it wide open for, you know, sequels.
I just don't know
if they're going to or not.
I would have preferred for them to do Kyle Rayner, whatever. Because, again, you don't have to – fill all the backstory in like they felt like they had to with Hal Jordan.
Well, I think they did too much of the Green Lantern history. They could have spread that out in a couple of, you know, movies.
Sure. I agree. Alien comes down. No one really cares that he's part of a mm-hmm. group of super cops.
Yeah, they could have made two movies out of that if they'd spread it out more. But it's like, you know, like I was saying, and I took that comment from somebody else as I read that it was like a movie made by committee. So, anyway.
Yeah, like that's the way they did it in the comics, right? Like he got his ring, and then eventually over the course of a couple of issues, you figured out there was more to it and then more to it. And mm-hmm. that's kind of – I guess it depends on what kind of story they wanted to tell. Like if they wanted to do like a big space – smashy up movie, then you needed to get the little blue guys in there pretty quickly. But
and they could have made it all in space. Like, well, the cartoon's supposed to be all in space. They're not supposed to show any of that Earth stuff at all. So which I haven't watched that yet. Got that on the TV.
Murray, you'll see when you finally see the movie that they're clearly setting up with doing all that backstory,
yeah,
for sequels. They're saying, okay, here's a bunch of stuff that we're going to give you some tidbits from. Now we can make six other movies, you know, spinning out of these little plot points that we mentioned in the first movie. But they could just as easily have said, you know, we're going to pull back on all these plot points, maybe one or two. But you're right. If we look at the Essentials versions of, you know, those early issues with Hal Jordan, they mention that there's, you know, more Green Lanterns, mm-hmm. but it's mentioned. It's not shown.
Yeah.
And they might not even had that idea when they redid all of that, when they redid the Green Lantern in the Silver Age, too. So.
Well, they did. If you look at it, they talk about how it's this, you know, they talk about the sector.
Yeah, that's true. They do.
It's at least implied, but it might have been a throwaway too. It might have been, oh, there's a sector, and then somebody said, well, somebody said sector, so there must be another, you know, umpteen thousand Green mm-hmm. Lanterns out there. I don't know however many there's supposed to be. 3,600. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, depending on Yeah.
Times two. Version. Times four. Times three.
I think that's one thing. I thought that them doing that in the comic, having two, one with a partner, that made more sense, and they didn't continue that in the book in the movie. So
it's early yet.
But yeah, that's true. So anyway.
Well, Murray, we can all hope that DC finally figures out how to do a movie without the committee.
Well, if they just let it be done like the Batman ones are, it would have been fine. And I think he's got a lot of control. Nolan does, so.
And I think that's part of it too. He was a fan, and he said, mm-hmm. "Gonna do it my way, or I'm not gonna do it at all."
Right. Exactly. All
right. Fine.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. So.
So far, I mean, we haven't seen number three yet, but.
I think it's gonna be good. You know what character's gonna be in it, right?
Batman? I don't know.
Bane. Well, you know Catwoman is going to be in it, but Bane.
Really? Okay.
Yes. That's another thing. You don't need two villains. You don't have to have two villains. Because that's one thing that they did in all the Batman movies and a lot of the comic book movies you see. They can't just do one villain. They got to have two, you know?
And that's what was really good about the first two Spider-Man movies. There really was only one villain in
exactly.
those.
Yeah.
And also, again, with the first Batman movie, the first Superman movie. Oh, the first two Superman movies. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I take it back. The second one had the Kryptonians and Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but technically I would consider the Kryptonians only one villain, really.
Right.
But, yeah, I see what you're saying. But, yeah – Have either of you guys seen Star Trek Nemesis?
Which one is that?
No, that's the very last one, the one with the clone, one? The clone of Picard.
No.
Okay, well, he plays, which I just completely ruined the first part of the movie for you then, but that guy plays Bane, and he is a great actor. Awesome actor. So... Wow.
Fun to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because they got that what's her name? Anne Hathaway is playing Catwoman. Oh, yeah, and of course Scarecrow's back.
Well, he was in the second one too.
Yeah,
so
I didn't know he was in it again, but looks like Tom Hardy's playing Bane, and he is awesome. I love that character so. Should be interesting to see. And then, of course, you got the Avengers movie as another one I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, man. I am so jonesing.
That's going to be great. Because, I mean, you got Josh Whedon doing the plot, and he's directed it. So I don't think you could go wrong with that.
And hopefully he brings in Nathan Fillion to do something in the movie.
I wouldn't be surprised. He has a tendency to bring in people from Firefly and his other TV shows that didn't make it, get them roles. So, because he had Wash be a bad guy in Dollhouse. So, but anyway,
I've never seen Firefly. Sorry.
Oh my god!
I did see the movie one. The movie
Serenity.
Serenity, yeah.
I saw Serenity, but I've never seen the TV show.
Oh, I'm such a fan of the TV show. I've got all the episodes on DVD, and it is a quality TV show. It just didn't – Fox didn't really give it a chance. They screwed up. Well, the one thing they did was they showed, like, the second or third episode and made that the first episode they aired. But they had a two-hour pilot. If they'd shown that first, it would have made a lot more sense. Because you're basically starting the series in the middle with the characters. The characters already knew each other, but if they'd showed the pilot, it would have them. It was them getting used to it. They didn't show that to like halfway through the series over, and there was even three episodes they didn't even show.
You are hardcore.
Oh, I love that show. Love it. Well, that's how I got to be such a big Nathan Fillion fan. And when that show tanked, they put him in as a villain on Buffy. And but anyway, yeah.
What was his character's name in Doctor Horrible? Captain Hammer or something
Captain
like that.
Captain Hammer, yeah. I haven't seen that.
That's funny.
That one I haven't seen. No.
It's streaming. on Netflix. So it's 15 minutes. It's well worth it.
Yeah. I remember when they were doing all that stuff. So
it's very good.
But anyway, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
It's got NPH in it, we're going to say. So. Speaking of How I Met Your Mother, to bring it all the way back to that.
All the way back. There you go.
That is correct. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I got on that.
The only other stuff I didn't mention here is actually, I did mention all the movies that I wanted to mention here. Goodness gracious.
Good. That's good.
Yay for me.
All right.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything else. I didn't have an agenda, so I've just been playing it off the cuff.
Lovely.
Lovely.
You know, we could talk about Sin City or 300.
Yeah,
or
we could do that.
But my God, we could keep talking and talking, but we need to save something for future episodes.
That's true.
Do a Frank Miller episode.
That would be good. Yeah, we could do that. Well, okay, so are we wrapping it up then?
Sure.
All right, well, let's see. Let's talk about how you can contact us. Let us know how you feel about this episode, previous episodes, or give us ideas for future episodes. You can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com. There is the Facebook forum, which is the frequently used method of getting hold of us and talking about things. I post a lot of comic book news in there and that people can discuss. Just do a little search on Facebook for us, Tales from the Lawn Box podcast. You can comment on the actual episodes, talesfromthelawnbox.com. And, of course, iTunes. Yes, we are on iTunes, though I don't think anybody knows that.
You did mention a couple weeks ago that you're going to try and get us on some kind of consortium or something
like
that.
Yes, I haven't done that yet. I've been working on my comic book script.
I finally
got an artist in line, which it's going to be cool because right after we decided that he decided he's going to work with me, he got a gig with Vampirella, so at least that's what he says. So we should be good. I'm stuck on three panels rewriting the ending.
Throw in an explosion.
I might.
Everyone died.
You're stuck. You need an explosion.
Yeah, there you go.
Or an evil twin.
Evil twin. No, I'm not gonna do the evil twin.
All right.
But I'll think of something. So anyway.
Teaser.
Okay. So, all right, that's it for this episode, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.